Alrighty then. Hello there. Welcome to North Shore Sports Night. On this Monday night, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell overlooking everything, of course, the voice of the North Shore. And tonight, it's mostly taking a look at high school football in the area, for the most part. And we have a bunch of guests lined up accordingly. We're going to start tonight off with a look at the South Shore, as we'll be talking with Duxbury Clipper sports writer Trevor Haas. He has been covering the Duxbury Green Dragons, and of course they beat Beverly over the weekend in a broadcast game on Saturday in the Division 2A North Championship, and Duxbury will go on to play in the Super Bowl. Not quite sure how that works as Duxbury is in the North, but maybe Trevor can help us out with that. Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli will be on board talking about his team this year in the upcoming Thanksgiving Day game. Also be chatting with Winthrop Sean Driscoll about the same stuff, actually. Going to check in with E.J. Perry, the Andover football coach, one more time. Talk about young E.J. Talk about the Division I North final that he had, that Andover played against Everett, when Everett scored, I believe it was 61 or 62 points. But a lot of points scored by Andover as well. And we'll check in with Coach Perry, and we'll talk some other stuff. Going to be a lot of interviews up on the website. We talked with a bunch of coaches last week about Thanksgiving. We'll have a lot of interviews coming up as well tomorrow and Wednesday before our broadcast game. Make that broadcast games on Thursday morning. And we'll also be checking with Matt Andreas. He's the sensational Danvers High School football and baseball athlete, who one of the captains of the football team, who was out injured. But he is the October Moynihan Lumber North Shore Student Athlete of the Month, and we'll be checking in with Matt Andreas and catching up with him as well. So all that's coming up here on MSONewsports.com. I'm Rick Moore, and on Thursday morning, okay, kickoff at 10 a.m., Paul Ingram and I will be at Dr. Deering Stadium in Danvers, the fantastic new facility there. We'll be covering the Danvers-Gloucester matchup, both teams at 8-2, so this should be really something. And no matter what the records have been recently, these two teams have really battled it out. There have been times when Danvers has been a heavy favorite and Gloucester has pushed them to the limit, and vice versa. This year, as last year, I think, the team's fairly even. Of course, losing Matt Andreas is a huge blow. Matt will be out this game for Danvers, and apparently, I think he said it's going to take 5 or 6 weeks for his ankle to heal. He has, fibula, I think he said. Fibula. I think it's the fibula, he said. You'll find out on the interview. So much for my anatomy. And anyway, he's only going to be out for a few weeks more, and then he'll be able to rehab and get ready for baseball season. So we'll get the story with Matt there. Couple of guys out for Gloucester High School as well. On that'll be on Channel B, and that will be our video broadcast game on Thanksgiving morning. Andrew Nicastro, of course, our streamographer, and we'll have that game at 10 a.m. Now, over on Channel A, it will be Lynn English and Lynn Classical with Tim and with Bill Newell, as they'll be bringing you that annual matchup. I think maybe Tim has arrived. You can tell by the dog barking. And Marty Smith will be at the, 2000th Beverly-Salem game. I don't know what number it is, but it's in the hundreds anyway. He will be at the Beverly-Salem matchup, and of course that, on paper anyway, looks to be a mismatch with the Panthers having an outstanding record again this year, and Salem struggling to get wins. They've been competitive in many games, but they've had a tough time getting some wins. So all that's coming up here on MSO News Sports. We'll take our first break of the evening, and then we'll check in with Trevor Haas. He is the Duxbury Clipper sports writer, and we'll see what he's got to say about those Duxbury Green Dragons, all right here on MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. We'll be right back.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydews flavors of the fall today.
All right. Okay, we're back, and we're with Duxbury Clipper sports writer Trevor Haas. And Trevor, welcome to MSO and to the North Shore.
Thank you. Great to be here. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Trevor, before we talk about Duxbury and the machine that Coach Memeron has down there, tell us a little bit about yourself, how maybe a little background, your professional background, your education, and how you got where you are.
Sure. So I'm originally from Arlington, Mass., so you know, about a half hour from you guys, and I grew up around there, went to Syracuse, graduated from there in 2015, had some internships at the Boston Globe, Baltimore Sun, with MLB.com. I actually covered high school football for the Globe a couple years ago, so I've been to Gillette and all that jazz. And then I lived in Minnesota for a year, working a comparable job with what I'm doing now, and actually got back here about 2 months ago, so just getting my feet wet and really enjoying it so far, so it's fun to be back home.
Well, as you know, it's a much different article writing for high school sports than it is pro. And what do you see as some of the challenges and some of the rewards of writing for the high school rather than the big time?
Like you said, it's definitely a different experience. I think one of the big positives is that people really do care about your content. I mean, when I was at with MLB.com covering the A's, you know, there were 5 to 10 people any given game who were there doing the same kind of thing that I was, and it was kind of tough to differentiate myself. Whereas here, you know, you're really the main guy on the beat, except for the occasional Globe and Herald and the ESPN guys who come. But overall, it's your gig and it's kind of your time to run with it. So it can be difficult to, you know, get notoriety just because it is a smaller beat, but at the same time, you kind of have to work with that and do what you can and make the most of it, which is what I've been trying to do lately. So it's a good challenge.
I noticed one of the big differences that I notice when sports writers come in, especially in this area, they come in from, we've had a couple of guys come in from the Globe, and the big challenge is to not point out kids' errors by name. They have to kind of leave that out because they're 14, 15-year-old kids and try to and promote the positive. Well, there's a lot of positive coming out of Duxbury High School, and you got to explain to me, and I'm sure you've done the research, what is the secret to the success of this Duxbury football game the last 12, 15 years?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm pretty new to it, but just coming in this year, they're pretty tremendous. I mean, telling it anything short of that would just be a lie. They're excellent, and they are the best team in the state. There's a reason they're number one. I think with this year in particular, which is what I know the most about, so I'll talk about that.
Okay.
You know, Bobby Memeron is the leader. He kind of gets everything going. He's probably arguably the best quarterback in the state, definitely top five. Really good with his arm and his leg, kind of a dual-threat quarterback. He's very slimy. His dad calls him slimy, which I find pretty funny. He just kind of runs around and makes plays and really good at doing things with his legs and his arms. Then around him, there's Ryan Regan, top receiver who's going to Harvard next year. He's 6'4 and really a big target, good hands, and good at getting yards after the catch. Devin Demerit, he's had some injuries, but he's a great running back, really shifty and good, you know, picking up extra yardage. And their offensive line is what Coach Dave Vermeeren calls the best asset of the team. A bunch of big kids who are, you know, 6'5"-ish. There's a sophomore named Quinn Murphy who is 6'5", 300. So obviously he's kind of a beast and really dependable. And their offensive line's excellent. Defensive line's excellent. And then some strong safeties, really good in pass coverage. So I think the thing that separates them is that they just don't really have any weaknesses. A lot of teams that can run the ball or throw the ball, they can do both. And the defense is really just as good as the offense. So kind of tough to slow them down.
You know, Trevor, one of the things that really stood out to all of us in the booth was the fact that there was an offensive team and it was a defensive team. I think the only one who played any kind of both ways was Bobby in the second half. He played some defensive back. He had an interception. But other than that, it's 11 guys and 11 guys, and there aren't many teams across the state that can do that.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, if you look at just physically look at the sideline, it's massive. They have like 100 kids on the roster. Most teams don't have close to that many. That really gives them a big edge because not only are you specializing in one thing, but you're also fresh and you don't have to worry about, you know, playing every snap of every game. And the offense is on the field marching down for 5 to 10 minutes. The defense is off for that long. They come back. They're healthy. They're fresh. They're ready to go. And it's really, you know, advantageous to have that edge, I think.
Yeah, one of the things we also noticed was the fact that the plays seem to be scripted. They really don't have a huddle. They come out, they get set up, and they go. And my broadcast partner noticed there was one particular play. The referee was setting the ball down on the near hash marks, and already the two wide receivers were to the far side of the field, ready to go.
Yeah, seriously, they're ready to go. I mean, they're kind of a machine, like I said, and you just have to slow them down. So they're always ready for the next play.
And the other thing about that I noticed about the defense was one, how fast they were. And I was just looking at one of the articles in your paper today or last weekend, and it was mentioned that Mike Barry was so sick he had to miss practice in school almost all week. He had a hell of a game on Saturday. He was all over the place. But what I noticed about the defense is the defensive line, of course, they're so big anyways, they get tremendous push up front and they get tremendous penetration. But watching the linebackers and the defensive backs, they almost hesitate before they move on the snap of the ball. They actually wait and see where the play is going to start, and then they begin their flow, and no one overruns the guy next to them, so that as they flow, there's always cutback coverage, and the defense is able to collapse. You can either seal it, and if the guy cuts back, the man coming behind him makes the hit, and everybody comes in. And I just thought that was a tremendous skill that those kids possessed, that it was a total team defensive mindset to wait, see where the ball is going, and then react to it.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting point. I think, you know, on offense, I think that's really helpful for them because, like I said, Bobby Mamaron is really a dual-threat quarterback, so if he improvises that way, and he, you know, they don't have to kind of determine what they're doing at beforehand. They can really do it, you know, split-second decisions. If Bobby has space, he's going to run. If he doesn't, then he's going to pass. And the offensive line kind of waits to see what he's going to do because they're so big and they're so much more imposing than their opponent. So it's kind of a give and take thing, like, oh, we have this, let's do that, or we have this, let's do that. And then, you know, that improvisation really separates them, I think.
What's the outlook now for Thanksgiving and then for the Super Bowl for Duxbury?
Well, for Thanksgiving, they're playing Marshfield. I've been doing some research leading up to the game, and it's pretty interesting. The head-to-head is remarkably even. It's 15-14-2. Duxbury has the slight edge, but Marshfield has actually won the last three games. So kind of an interesting situation for Dave Mamaron right now. You know, do you play the starters to give them the last Thanksgiving win, their first Thanksgiving win, or do you rest up for the Super Bowl because Shrewsbury is right ahead, on December 3rd, which is at 6 p.m. at Gillette. So interesting predicament. My guess is they'll play the starters, you know, to start, see how it goes. They are a better team than Marshfield this year, so if they go up, then they'll probably rest them. Mm-hmm. If not, I'll be very curious to see what happens. Frankly, I think they will beat Shrewsbury pretty handily. I think Shrewsbury has three losses, and Duxbury hasn't really come close to losing except for one game, which they beat North Attleboro by 7. So I'd expect Duxbury to win, but it wouldn't surprise me if Shrewsbury made it a little closer. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, we're a little familiar with Duxbury up here. They've beaten the Northeastern Conference schools a couple of times, and they've been a force ever since Dave Mamaron's been there. Trevor, we're going to be doing the Division II game, so the 2A game, rather. So if your game is there, we'll look, you know, around that time, we'll look for you down at Gillette.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Trevor, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks
That's
much.
Trevor Haas, who was the sports writer down at the Duxbury Clipper. And I'm going to start calling Duxbury the University of Everett South, I guess.
Oh, you know, I don't know what's in the drinking water. And
I mean, they averaged 12-1 over the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah,
12 wins
yeah,
and one loss.
Just an incredible output. And that shows, it's a commitment from the community to support the youth football program. Where you obviously you've had great success on the Coach Mamaron, and the community, the kids, young kids, want to be a part of that. So I can imagine that they have tremendous numbers in their youth peewee football programs, and the concepts that he teaches are the concepts that they teach on those smaller at these younger ages. So the kids are coming up and they're playing the same style of football, so that when they get into the high school, and Stan Bondalevich used to do that at Swampscott. We talked about this before. From Papuana, Pee-wee through Papuana, middle school, freshman, JV, everybody plays the varsity offense. So when you get to the varsity, you either know the offense or you're not on the team. You know?
Yep, and I think you're right. I think it's a tremendous support system for the Duxbury Green Dragons down there. What a wagon. Okay, we're going to come back, talk with Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli, get his thoughts on the league, the playoffs, the upcoming Thanksgiving Day games here on MSO.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, having a little trouble connecting with Coach Ciccatelli, and you know, I've screwed these numbers up before. It wouldn't be the first time, so I'll have to see if I can dig out the number somehow and see if that's the right one. And so what we'll do is we'll just shift gears here. But, Coach, you saw the game, and just a total mismatch, really. I mean, they've got the numbers, they've got the size, and, what are you going to do when you got that much talent across the field?
Yeah, there's the same pattern on nearly every possession for Beverly. First down, gain 3, 4, 5 yards. Second down, take a 3 or 4 yard loss. And it just seemed to go that way most of the day. And Duxbury was so fast. They shut down the middle. They shut down the outside. Early on, Morency tried to force a couple of passes in. They were picked off. Again, stalled any kind of momentum. They had two big returns over the 50-yard line by Kyle Schrenard, and nothing out of them. Again, they ended up going backwards on consecutive plays on one of those possessions. It had to be frustrating for the kids, but again, as I tweeted out after the game, despite the score, the kids played with class and played with composure in class, and that's a credit to Coach Morency and his staff that they composed themselves in that fashion. And it really was. It would have been very easy to get chippy, to get a little edgy, to take your frustrations out on the opposing team, but there was none of that. And one of the greatest things that I saw was at the end of the game, the two teams come together, shake hands. Hugh Callis was shaking hands, giving a hug, and having a word with each of the players that he went through the line with. And as he did that, the line of the other guys in the team who were just simply shaking hands moved further and further away from him. But he took the time to say something to each of those players. Mm. And I thought that was really magnanimous of him, because it was a hard day, especially for the seniors. Well, they had that ambition. And it's kind of – I mean, you knew you lost to the better team.
Yeah, yeah.
You hoped you'd have made – a better show of it. And Coach Marinson said, well, we didn't play our best game. It's tough to play, I think, your best game when you're playing a team of that caliber, of that size. I mean, the linebackers were 6'1", 6'2". The Lions, as Trevor was saying, the tackles on offense were 6'5". The middle guys were 6 and 6'2", and they were all 240 or better, topping out at 300 pounds. The defensive line, the bookends, were 6'5", 250. Now, these are all different guys. The interior was 235 and 240. Your linebackers were 6'1 and 200 pounds. It's like you were playing a JUCO team.
University of Everett South.
Honestly, I mean, you looked at the numbers. I mean, you looked at the roster, and my God, it went on forever. And then you started looking through the stats on these guys and how many kids were over 225.
Well, I don't think we should forget how Beverly got there either, and the incredible wins that they pulled off in the playoffs before that.
Oh, and it was sheer tenacity, and unfortunately, tenacity was not going to be able to overcome. But again, they had a couple of passes picked off when they were trying to make things happen.
We've reached the maximum time permitted.
Quiet. Thank you.
And I asked Coach. I said, did they seem to? I asked Dan Bauer. I said, did it seem that they were trying to operate too quick, do things too quickly? And he said, sometimes a team can do that when you're falling behind and you're trying to play catch up and you're trying to get something going. That sometimes you in your mind you just move things a little bit faster than you should, and that's when you're rushing, and that's when you tend you might make a slip up.
Well, I was talking to Coach Terrio today too, and in the playoffs against North Reading, when it's a similar thing when Matt Andreas went down with the ankle injury. They depend. I don't want to say so heavily on him, but he's your go-to guy. When you need it, he's there, okay? Everything else works, you don't need him. When something doesn't work, well, then you go to Matt. When he's not available, other people, I don't want to say they try to do too much, but it throws you out of your rhythm a little bit. Maybe you are trying to overcompensate. And it sounds like, in a situation such as Beverly had against Duxbury, it's the same thing. You try to do maybe just a little bit more than you're capable of. But on the other hand, if the opposition, you got to give credit with when a guy is bigger, better, faster, stronger, and just the team is better on you in that day. Disgrace.
And they knew, they knew coming in that it was going to be a really tough physical game. And they gave as good as they got. Mm-hmm. Hugh Callis laid out number four on the Duxbury roster. He came across. The kid was coming around.
Roster's right there.
The left side.
It's in the machine. Remember, I never gave it to you. I ran it off and never gave it to you.
To name the victim, Jack McKim.
Let me see. Let's see the size.
Was coming up. And Hugh Callis came across from his linebacker and. And he hit a clean hit, and stopped him dead in his tracks and ended up sitting him down.
I'm looking at these offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Chris Chasen, a junior. I can't get my glasses on here with this headset. 6'5", 270. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Quinn Murphy, a sophomore, 6'5", 300. Here's a little fella, a guard, 5'10", 235.
That's it, yeah.
Another guard, 6'2", 240, and another tackle, senior, 6'4", 290. Well, I'm glad Beverly got home safe and sound.
Well, and I'll tell you, they...
That's ridiculous. That's high school. Yeah. God. All right, here's another one, 6'1", 270.
Oh, yeah, and these guys weren't rotund. These guys were like sequoias. The 6'5" guys, and they all could. Their lateral movement was excellent. They had great push. When you're pushing against guys that are 175, 200, that extra 70 pounds does come in handy. But the technique was so good by these guys.
All right, we got to take a break. For some reason, we're on battery power. We'll be back. We're going to try to check in with Coach Sean Driscoll next. So stay tuned. This is MSO News Sports.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back now with Winthrop High School football coach Sean Driscoll. And, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's going on? Busy time of year?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's I was just talking to Coach Terrio over in Danvers today, and he was saying how he was driving to practice tonight, and it just hit him how, you know, he was just doing this yesterday, and it was 85 degrees or 90 degrees in August, and here we are in Thanksgiving. It's a tremendous amount of work for you guys, but it does go fast in a way, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. It does fly by pretty quickly. And I think around week five or week six, especially when we're struggling a little bit, you start reminding the seniors that pretty soon, you know, this is gonna be over. A lot of years won't put helmets on ever again, you know. And it's not one of those sports where you can pick up and play basketball or go skate at a rink somewhere or do something like that, or play baseball or softball. It's a different game, and I think it's what makes it special.
You know, I've asked coaches from time to time if they can relate a story or a special incident with a kid who maybe wasn't a great athlete over the years, but stuck with the program in one way or another, and maybe didn't even get into a game except at the very end, you know, on a blowout one way or the other. But it was a meaningful experience for the kid, and he, you know, the little light bulb goes on over the head, and you were able to see that. Have you got anybody like that comes to mind, Sean, who's just worked so hard and maybe not a great athlete, but proud to wear that uniform?
Yeah, I had a player a few years back. It's funny you said that. I think it was Saturday. He stopped by practice Saturday morning. And it was great to see him and how he's going and how he's doing now. It's, you know, he's finishing up. He'll be finishing up college this year, and how it's the game made him structure his time a lot better and did a lot of things. And he wasn't a key player for us, but he played a little bit of special teams. He came out for 2 years as a junior senior, and kids like that stick out to me all the time. And we have a couple this year in that same boat, and they've given a great effort at practice. And seeing him Saturday was kind of which makes Thanksgiving a little special. Went through, you know, a lot of the old players come back and, you know, like to chat and end up talking old times, good or bad. But, yeah, we've had a couple of them in our school, that's for sure.
Excellent.
We've had a couple of players in that category.
Well, you're like a surrogate dad to so many of these guys. You're with them so long.
Yeah, I'll tell you, in a small town, it was very noticeable. You talk to some of these other coaches in bigger school, you don't get the same feeling that happens at those bigger schools. But in a small town where it means a lot, and, you know, you leave here, you leave part of a family, and it's one big entire family in our community.
Sean, what's the difference as you move to the end of the season with the last game coming up against Revere for Thanksgiving? 3-7 going in, and you guys have had some tremendous success over the years. How do you sit down at the end of the season, and what's the mindset that you have as you look back in the season and you start to begin to put things together for the next season?
Well, I'll tell you, looking at the beginning of the season, we got off to a, you know, really slow start. You know, we started off 0-3, lost a heartbreaker early in the year with the inning game and overtime, and then we got a little bit of a spurt there. We got into league play and did pretty well and won. He won a couple of games and ran into a tough loss of team that gave us, you know, a pretty good licking there a little bit. And then
to come back and beat Swamps, get squeezed in the playoffs and get an eighth seed with the way we started the year, I thought was a great thing. Unfortunately for us is we weren't prepared physically with St. Mary's. Just a lot with to do with how we play Gloucester this year. Those physical teams are tough to match up with the group that we have this year. But I will tell you, you know, making that there, unfortunately for us, we really haven't recovered since from that game. And that's something that sticks out. And that's been the big thing, you know, preaching to our kids. It's not how you got on the mat. It's how you got up from the mat, you know. And we struggled the last couple of weeks. And last week we had a lot of younger kids playing against Northeast folk. And it was good to see their effort. A lot of effort didn't go unnoticed. Some of our freshmen and sophomores that were playing. So, again, you know, just preaching to the team, stay together, stay as a group, stay as a family, and, you know, ride out the rough times. And we've had our share of rough times this year. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can end with a very positive note on Thanksgiving.
Coach, how do you look at the playoffs? I think the league in particular, obviously the guys at the top, Beverly, Marblehead, Danvers, all winning in first round. I think it shows that north or south, it's a pretty tough competitive league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure football has always been very competitive, but I got to tell you what they're doing. What Jim Rudolph's doing over Marblehead to me is incredible. He's getting consistency year in and year out, and I think that's you can see that in the program for consistency. Beverly the same way. Change over and coach, bring a new coach in. You think they might slow down a little bit, but he did a great job. He's always has a history of being a great coach. He was at Hamilton Wenham, and very happy to see the North Shore represented the way it was. And actually, we just talked about this last night. You know, a lot of quality football being played up on the North Shore this year.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to E.J. Perry in a little while over at Andover, and Tim just did the Duxbury game, and you got two of the best quarterbacks in eastern Massachusetts in this region. I got Coach Ciccatelli over here. So it's amazing how competitive this stuff is.
Right, I agree 100%. It's a tribute to the league and the coaches all in the league, because I think North Shore football across the board, Cape Ann and Northeast Conference, coaching throughout there has been great.
You know, the other thing it points to, Sean, is the quality of kids that look to play football on the North Shore in the Cape Ann League and in the Northeastern Conference year after year. That you know, we may not have the overall depth of like a Duxbury, but each team, each community produces athletes who have a desire to excel, to work hard, and to go out and represent their community, their team, and their school.
Yes, you know, as I was saying last night we were talking and how it takes a special kid nowadays to play the game of football, and you come across those rare kids, and the ones that seem to be doing well are the ones that get a bigger core of those kids that are, very time-oriented, very into football, into athletics in general. You know, like at Winthrop, we always, you know, pride ourselves on three-sport athletes, and sometimes you have the good classes that have that, and sometimes you don't. And I will say that I am impressed with a lot of kids. If you look at other teams, what their history is, not only in football, but what they do off the field. You read some stories, and you talk to other coaches, and it's definitely... football's a great game. It's a great team game. And I think that also builds great character for young men. And I think you have a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of players in the North Shore this year that are like that.
Coach, where's Thanksgiving dinner for the Driscoll family?
Well, we'll be home. Just a small group of us. Very nice home and cozy. And, reflecting on a year that, again, you know, up and down year. But one thing, as I was telling my kids today, if you know anything about me, go get the coffee in the morning at 6:30, you know, 6:45, and you run into a woman whose kids played for me years ago, and one of the things that come out and say, yeah, I bet you can't wait to get rid of these kids this year. And I said, no, that's not the case, because if you know anything about us, myself as a head coach and been part of the program, played in the program, you know anything about winter football with the family, that's not the case, because at the end of the day, I always going to miss the people that have played and gave a great effort for our program, especially the seniors. And again, I think it's gone by too fast, as we said earlier. But I am definitely not one of those guys that can't get ready to move on to the next one. But I will tell you that I wish nothing but the best for our seniors and people that are leaving us this year.
You know, Sean, that's well spoken, and I think Tim and I both agree. When we talk to these young men in particular, but also the young women who were North Shore student athletes. I think we're in good hands. I think the future's in good hands with these kids.
Yes, I do. I think it really stands out, especially with your station promoting them like they do. I think you hear some good things, and I think even now, even more of the press picking up on the good stories about what sports bring to a community and to a school.
Well, Sean, listen, I know we probably won't be talking for a while, but thanks so much, man, for this season, and good luck this week, and we'll check in with you down the road and see what's going on over the winter.
Thanks, guys, and I appreciate everything you do for high school football. I think it's a great thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That is Winthrop football coach Sean Driscoll, just a super class guy.
Yeah.
And don't we feel that way? I know there's so many years, the end of the school year is coming up, and, you know, teacher, I can't wait for this year to end, blah, blah. And I would say, geez, I don't want it to end because, you know, you're not going to get, this, you know, when you have a certain group of kids, you're not going to get them back again. Mm. But it always turns out okay the following September, and I, you know, it does with football as well. But it is, it's hard to give. And when you see kids, you make that connection. It's coaching, teaching, it's very emotional.
Yeah, it is. You know, you have, like, I teach mostly juniors, so you see them come back as seniors, and they stop by your room, and they look in, and they yell, or they wave. You know, they greet you in the hallways, and it's always such a special thing. And, you know, you ask how they're doing and where they're applying to schools, and they come up, and they'll ask you for a recommendation, you know, and that's always a great pleasure and an honor to do. I know you've done many of them in your time, and, you know, this is my final go-around to do recommendations.
That's right, you're graduating this year.
I am walking with the seniors.
There you go. There you go.
You know, so, yeah.
All right. Okay, we're going to check in with the rival. That is Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli in just a second. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore with Tim Kearns, Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer, and Bill Newell overseeing everything. We'll be right back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back, and we're giving Lou Ciccatelli, the Revere football coach, the business. I guess he was out. Anyway, welcome back, Coach.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Coach, we just talked with Winthrop football coach Sean Driscoll, and what we were doing was sort of looking back over how quickly the time has gone this year in particular from August to Thanksgiving. It seems just like yesterday we were talking for the first time. It was hot outside. You guys were doing double sessions and so on. And here we are at Thanksgiving week. And do you have a chance to reflect on that at this time of year, Lou? Does it kind of hit you?
Oh, without question. It's funny. We were talking about it today. You know, the cold weather coming in and whatnot. And, it feels like it flew by this year. And I think for us, you know, the fact that we're playing pretty good football down the stretch, it always makes things better and things kind of go a little bit faster, it seems. But, it came quick.
So now you have a chance on another winning record is if you win on Thursday. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. 6-5 would be very nice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, before we talk a little bit about Winthrop, let's reflect on your team. We didn't, let's see, the most recent game you had was a tough loss, was it, to Lynn? Where am I?
We beat Lynn English.
Lynn English, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And Westford Academy. We talked after the Westford game. That must have been huge. So you've got a couple of big wins there in a row.
Yeah, like I said, we're playing really good football down the stretch. So 5 out of the last 6, we started off a little shaky, but we picked it right up. And, yeah, we had a big win last week over a very good Lynn English football team. Another thriller where with 55 seconds left, drove 70 yards and kicked a field goal, a walk-off field goal to win the game, and it was a big win for our program, big win.
Lou, you know, you got your standard guys who have been, you know, doing it for you, you know, as seniors, as captains, and, you know, your veterans. Have you got somebody on the team, one or two guys, and you can mention the names or not, but, you know, who maybe have... Well, they've risen above a little bit above where you expected them to be and have really contributed to get you guys in this good streak.
Yeah, but a couple of sophomores. Frank Sims, my starting center and starting defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. He's been great this year. on both sides of the ball. And batter Howe, H-A-U, Howe,
mm-hmm.
my kicker and my safety, batter has been, we call him Batter Ice. He has been fantastic in the kicking game this year. As a sophomore, he won us basically two games on his foot. So those two, you don't hear too much about them, but they're playing real, real good football for us, and they're a big part of our success this year.
What's the now? It's funny you should mention a sophomore center, because I know that in the pros they always mention the responsibility of the center. What's the responsibility of the center in high school, Lou? Does he have a lot?
He does. For our offense, he does too. Yep. I mean, he's got to know when blitzes are coming. He's got to know when to help out and check off on plays. And he's a pretty bright kid. But I think more than anything, he's an athlete, and he's tough as nails. And he's a big kid. He's a kid who put some time in as a freshman in the weight room, and I think that paid off. He got a lot stronger, and he's a kid we're looking for big things in the future. He's a big part of our offense, without question.
You got some guys looking at schools next year, maybe not necessarily to play football, but going off to college. Any names come to mind?
Yeah, right now it's kind of up in the air. I do have Anthony DeStefano, my captain. He's looking at Curry. Victor Rivera and Oscar Lopez are also looking at either Framingham State. Plymouth State is a possibility. Those three are kind of, we've only got about seven seniors, but those are the three that are kind of looking to go on and play at the next level.
Okay, we just talked, as I was saying, we were just talking with Coach Driscoll, and I guess he got pretty banged up against St. Mary's. The team got pretty banged up, but they're low in numbers always. However, it is Winthrop, so what do you expect from these guys?
They'll be better for us, I can tell you that. Almost certainly. Listen, they're a tough bunch. And like I said, I know that they'll be healed and ready to go for the Revere game. It's the biggest game of the year. I'm sure Coach Driscoll said the same thing. And, you throw the records out. Doesn't matter that we're going for a winning season. It doesn't matter where they are right now. It's going to be a close game. It is every year. And hopefully we're on top this year.
Coach, with the time between your final game and the Thanksgiving Day game, you mentioned you guys were reflecting. Do you do that? A lot of Sean said he was talking to some coaches and they were talking about some of these things. Do you sit down and talk with your coaches and begin the review process during this particular week to get started for your postseason analysis of how this season went? Or is there still more focus on getting the kids ready for Thanksgiving?
I think a little bit of both, Tim. I think for sure you definitely do talk about the season. There were a couple of games that we lost by a total of 5 points early on, and hopefully 6-5 could have easily been possibly 9-2. So, there's a lot of things that we talk about. There were a lot of things that we wish we could have fixed early on in the season, and without question, you definitely can't overlook Thanksgiving. I mean, in Massachusetts, there's nothing like a Thanksgiving Day rivalry. And you know what? You could be 0-10 and win that Thanksgiving Day game. And honestly, it's the only thing that people care about, the kids care about. And it doesn't get any bigger than that in Massachusetts on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, Coach. I spent 1 year in Gloucester. I went to high school in Texas, but my senior year was at Gloucester High School, and they were just opening up, renewing the rivalry with Danvers, and Gloucester was winless, and they won that game, and you are correct. That was the Super Bowl for us.
It's the truth. And what it does, too, is there's nothing like winning that last game because it propels you into next year. The kids are excited to get back in the weight room in a few weeks, and it's a big game. It's a big game, and it's something that, I'll tell you, we're very, very focused this year. We lost a tough game last year to Winthrop, and I know the guys are real hungry and want to get a win.
Do you guys have a trophy you pass back and forth to the winner?
We do, yep, and they got it. We want it back.
I understand that. Well, Coach, I'm asking the coaches. Most of the coaches, they have their Thanksgiving dinner at home. What about the Chickatellis?
Yeah, this year the Chickatellis are hosting at home. I'll have my my in-laws, my brother-in-law, everybody will be here. Unfortunately, my son, he's a resident up at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. It's the first Thanksgiving. He's not going to be home this year.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, a little bit bummed out about that. But everyone else will be here.
That's tough.
And Mrs. Chick will be cooking, I'm sure.
Awesome, awesome. Lou, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this, and I wish you the best of luck, and we will talk again very soon.
Hey, you guys are the best, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Same to you. Happy Thanksgiving,
Coach. Same back at you.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
That is Coach Lou Ciccatelli, and wow.
He could be 1-9 or 9-1, and his voice has the same energy level.
I know.
He is so upbeat, and you can see where the kids buy into the energy. And if you have that 1-9 season, you know that he is going to be the same hardworking individual, the same positive individual that's going to make you potentially work your way into that 9-1.
And isn't it amazing how each coach we talk to that I have just tremendous respect for has a different mechanism, a different personality, a different makeup, a different way of delivering the message, but the kids get it.
Yeah, they do. They do. And you know, it's the human factor. Each of us who coaches in a slightly different fashion, the message is basically the same. You know, but it's the manner in which you bring it. Sometimes it's the words that you choose. Some people are more serious than others. Others are a bit more lighthearted.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Andruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we may have to do a little improvisation here, and I don't know if this will work or not. Maybe we can put the phone up telephone. What do you call this thing here? The iPhone, whatever it is. Let's try that and see if that'll work. We're trying to get a hold of E.J. Perry, and we're having a little trouble with our phone line at the moment. And he is the Andover football coach. Why don't we try that? Let's see what happens. Are you ready?
I suppose so.
Okay. You're supposed to say you were born ready. All right, so let's give it a shot here. Stay with us here. And let's see what happens. Put it on speaker. And we'll try that. See if that works. I don't know if it's going on. It's not real loud, is it? Where are the speakers? He's not answering anyway. There it is. Yeah, we can do that. It'll work if we get an answer here. Let's see if that's the right number. Anyway, this is...
Your call has been forwarded to an automated
okay. voicemail. All right, so anyway, we'll try again in a few minutes. All right, get back over there. We got football coming up now. You get classical and English on
Thursday
morning, and we have Danvers and Gloucester and Beverly Salem. Marty's going to be over there, so we've got it all covered. We'll have our live streaming video with our streamographer Andrew Nicastro in Danvers, and I think they should be competitive games. I'm a little worried about Salem and Beverly. However, you know, Beverly they've had their tires flattened, so you know, I know they'll be back.
Well, yeah. But in his post-game comments, Coach Morency said, you know, finishing 9-3 is a great season.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, we went, no one believed that they were going to go as far as they did. No one believed that they were going to achieve what they did. So there was no shame in, no one likes to lose. There's no shame in losing to the to Duxbury. They would like to have, and I think to the man that they would say had played a better game, had been more representative. It was very tough to do against a team that had that many physical skills and talents, position by position. But you know that it left a bad taste in their mouth. They're going to be focused. They're going to be ready for Bear or Witches or whatever shows up on Thanksgiving. And I think they are going to play with a focus, a drive, a mission to put that loss to Duxbury behind them and set the tone for next year's Panthers.
Okay, we're going to talk with the Moynihan North Shore Student Athlete of the Month on the male side of things, Matt Andreas. He's with Danvers High School, and we're going to play that interview right now. Very pleased now to be with the Moynihan Student Athlete of the Month for the month of October, Matt Andreas. And Matt, have you gotten this award before?
I have not.
Well, I'm stunned because it seems like you probably could have won it many times. But it's a great thing that the Moynihan Lumber and Gerard Moynihan have done over the years. And, of course, you qualified for the Student Athlete of the Year banquet coming up in June, which is always a spectacular time. But, Matt, I want to get into it. You know, we'll talk a little bit about all your athletic endeavors in a minute. But, first of all, academically, this time of year, I imagine all your applications are in and your essay is probably done and you're sitting back now just waiting. Have you put in for early application to some schools?
No, I haven't. With how I want to play football in college, I like to keep my options open. Okay. I don't want to commit anywhere too soon.
All right, we probably should talk about that too, and we will. But what about, what are you studying? What's your load like this year? What do you got for courses?
I'm taking honors everything except one AP course, which is statistics.
Uh-huh.
So I have quite the load on me right now, but my parents are helping me out with it, and my friends all help. And
you know, with all honors, have you had calculus? You take calculus yet?
No, sir.
Okay. Looking back, you know, with all the courses that you're taking, I imagine that there's not a lot of free time, and you have to discipline yourself. So what's a typical day like for you with playing all the sports that you play and carrying all those loads? I mean, tell me a little bit about what an average high school day is for you.
Well, generally, I get out of school around 2, go home, have a snack, and then go to practice or get ready for a game. And then after that, it's just homework until I go to sleep.
And then and then repeat the process.
Right.
Okay, Matt, with football, I know that you're one of the top 2 or 3 players in the league, maybe in all of Eastern Massachusetts, and terrible injury. You've got to be a little disappointed about that. Tell me a little bit about this year and the guys you work with, because Coach was just talking about how hard you guys work, and I'm guessing you work with these kids in other sports and in the off season. So tell me maybe a little bit about how your preparation was coming into the season, and you know maybe who you work with.
You know, coming into this year, we really weren't sure what we were going to be. We knew we were going to be good, but we still had some gaps to fill with all the graduation we had last year. I think we only had 5 returning players. And the guys coming back this year, they work, like Coach T said, they worked their butts off, and they really made themselves into great football players, like the line, the defensive backs, the linebackers. And it's really astounding how well these guys, like, really came together.
How do you get your stamina? I know I've covered, I think it was the Peabody game, you carried the ball 35 times or whatever, and something like 15 times in a row. You sleep well at night after that?
Yes, I do. you know, I just want to win. Mm-hmm. And so if I can say if they need me to carry the ball 20 more times, and I'm going to do it. So,
what's a highlight for you? If you look back, if you can look back on this, your senior year, just starting now, and I know that you're involved in other sports as well, but with football, there's so many highlights that Danvers has had this year. What's one of your favorites?
So far this year, I really loved going in the Herd Stadium and beating Beverly. I'd lost 3 times in there over my career, and we've lost bad in there a few times, and it felt really good to go in there and win in that fashion.
I was upstairs when the Bavaro brothers were here. And, of course, Paul Ingram, a friend of mine who coached at Gloucester High School, also coached both the Bavaro brothers. The tradition at Danvers High School, and Coach Terrio has mentioned that as well, the tradition at Danvers is tremendous. And, you know, you're going to see your name among all that, and somebody's going to be wearing your jersey someday. Great place to be, and I'm sure that the 4 years has gone a little fast for you.
Oh, it flew by. I remember my freshman year when I was just starting out on varsity, Anthony Cordoba, who was a captain, before one of the games, he came up to me and said, "This flies by, cherish it." And I know everybody says that, but in the moment, I was like, "Oh, I got 3 more years after this one.
Yeah.
This is gonna be forever." And it's really hitting me hard now that it's over, especially now that there's an extra game and I'm missing it. And it's almost heartbreaking, but I mean, it happens. It's sports. So,
is there a kid that you passed that message along to who's now playing pretty regularly or at all?
Well, there's a sophomore. He worked his way into being the long snapper. His name's Brendan Tracy, but I pretty much told him the same thing.
There you go. So now you're an old timer. Yeah. Okay, Matt, let's get personal now. The injury, what does that do? Obviously, you're out for football, but what's the healing process and the prognosis and all that?
Well, luckily, I didn't need surgery. So it's just a broken fibula. So I'll be in the boot for about 6 more weeks, and then I'll do some physical therapy, and then I'll be good to go for baseball.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Just what the rest of the league wants to hear. But and finally, Matt, you look back on your 4 years, and academically you have excelled. Maybe you could mention where you might like to be going to school, and you know, if you'll be playing sports.
Well, Princeton University is my top choice. I'm still waiting on an answer from them for football, and after that, it's probably either Hamilton or Stetson University.
Fantastic. All right, that's Matt Andreas. Thanks, Matt. He is the Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month for the month of October. I hit the button there a little too quickly. Nice kid. And as I was saying earlier, we're in good hands, Coach.
Yeah, down the road.
We're not going to get into politics. Don't even go there. I saw the wheels turning. Oh, my word. We are our future is bright with these young men and young women. They're awesome. And Bill Newell will have the interview with Ms. Flynn, who from Hamilton Wenham. She is the winner on the ladies' side of things. I believe she's a volleyball player. And again, Moynihan Student Lumber Program, North Shore Student Athlete Program. We encourage you to nominate a student from the school. Go to North Shore. Google North Shore Student Athlete Program, and you'll get the qualifications needed, the application there right online, and nominate a student from your school. It's a tremendous thing that Gerard Moynihan and his brother, family, and all the sponsors have done over the years. It's a terrific program, and we totally, totally support that. Well, Coach, see you Thursday morning, I guess, or I'll hear you Thursday morning.
Yes, I'll be hearing from you.
Okay, and then we get ready for the Super Bowl.
You know, Paul, Bill and I will be in the very warm confines. on the press box at Manning Field.
And we'll be
a little heater.
Yeah, and Paul and I will be we'll be at in the press box at Danvers, a beautiful press box. I don't know if it'll be heated. But it's a great place, and Sean Daugherty, the PA announcer, is a great guy, and all the people up there looking forward to it. Andy St. Pierre, the athletic director, has been so good to us this year. And I want to thank all the coaches and all the athletic directors, Tim. We had such a fun year.
Well, it always is. I mean, you know, it's something all of us have enjoyed doing for a very, very long time. You and Monty and Bill especially have been at it for a very long time, and Monty and I stopped for a little refreshment after the game before we left Lowell, and I was telling him how lucky I was to work the three of you guys, because each of you guys is so unique in your presentation in calling the game, in particular the particular strengths that each of you possess, and my job is made so much easier because you guys do such a great job of doing what you do that I get to sit there and watch the game and make commentary on it.
Well, I think for a second, let me turn this music down, because it does bring up a lot of stuff, and I think what I most enjoy is that the people who work together for us, for MSO, and the people we work with out there who are all the coaches and athletic directors and stuff like that, I think we have a common understanding that we are promoting the good of what kids do, and we're promoting the good of what education is. And that's the thing. We all sort of get it, I guess, if I could say it that way.
Yeah, and I think you have to add another factor to that, and that is all the other media, the local media, the newspapers, and radios,
yes.
people that cover high school sports that help us and give us their time and their opinions. Phil Stacey, Matt, I mean, Dan Harrison, we've called on
Scott
him.
Scott Cooper has helped us out many times. Steve Prowse.
Nick Kukru, yep. Steve. You know, up and down the line, and I know we've left a couple of people out there from the Salem News staff, but everybody, Matt Lingo when he was in Gloucester, and you know, I still get all these guys following them on my Twitter account, and so I really keep up to date on where all the areas that they're covering as well, and that certainly helps me fill in the blanks during a football broadcast where I can update scores from Newburyport in that area because Dan Harrison's mm-hmm. firing him out and he's got his people reporting to him. So it really enriches what we do by the relationship that we've been able to foster with our other media brethren, shall we say?
Yeah, and brethren and sister. And we're going to keep reaching out to the Cape Ann League. I want to thank all the guys in the Cape Ann League at Masconomet, the AD, the coaches, same thing in Ipswich, at Newburyport, at Triton. We were able to expand over to Triton. Hamilton, one of them was fantastic. Ipswich, I mean, we got reports every single day from their sports department. Just great. It was an amazing fall season. Tain't over yet. But we're heading down the home stretch here.
Yeah, there's Thursday's games, and then there's the Super Bowl for Marblehead.
And we're going to have big features on the Marblehead team, too, prior to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And Falmouth High School, too.
Yeah, Falmouth, that's Paul's old school.
Yes, it is. Paul is really excited about doing this game.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he'll have a few mixed emotions as he watches the teams compete.
Well, Coach, happy Thanksgiving, my man.
Happy Thanksgiving, my
Appreciate
friend.
It. Happy Thanksgiving to the missus, and we'll be having our meal right after the game. Just heading back up 128, and you don't have far to go.
I head to the other side of town, I think.
Okay.
It's the other side of town, but to Wenham, 4 miles straight up the road.
Excellent, excellent.
So it's not a long drive either way. I have to go.
Well, I encourage everybody in the area to get out and support these kids and the programs. Nothing like it. It's great. Okay, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Bye-bye.